today. Eric, thank you for the time. It's a fun trivia question. Do most people realize that you were that good for that long and still hold that record?
I think I just survived. I'm just holding it temporarily until Shohei blows it up, and then it will change to the domestic home run leader in LA history.
What a great way to look at it.
There's always a qualifier you can use in a baseball conversation.
Right.
How crazy is it? How much fun is it to watch that guy? You know, like he beat out an infield, a ground ball that could have been a double play to end that ball game last night. You forget just how fast he is when he's doing everything else too.
Yeah, there aren't many guys that you play alongside that you marvel at, right? You figure, okay, you know, yeah, they're good and they're better than you were. You know, there's different tiers, but what with Shohei, that is just a completely different level as far as. You know, the other day I was calling the game, and he threw a pitch. It was over 100 miles an hour, and you know, and then he's also hitting in that game, and that's when you just say this is literally, you know, you go back to Bad News Bears back in the 70s, and Kelly Leak is this guy that was just the character was just crazy good, right? That's he's the Kelly Leak of Major League Baseball.
Eric, last night while I'm watching the game, I'm sitting there going, oh, the White Sox are doomed. And not just because they've been doomed over the last year and a half,
but
because those two walks turns the Dodgers lineup over. And once that happens, you have to look and go, oh, no, there's Ohtani and there's Betts and there's Freeman in the hole. Like that must the level of confidence that you must have as a Dodgers observer or Dodgers fan or a Dodgers player, knowing that those three guys have an opportunity to change the game, must be immense.
You know what's crazy, though, is in really the last, I'd say the last month or so, Freddie and Mookie have been a shell of themselves. And the thing about it, the lineup, everybody wants to talk about the top three in the Hall of Fame. Or, you know, these guys will be Hall of Famers. Yes, great. But the lineup is so deep, and there's not really a place that you can go if you're an opposing team and take a breath and say, this is where we're going to get out. And, you know, the longer a game goes, the longer this, you know, the season, 162 games, the Dodgers, it's just line change after line change after line change. And that's where, you know, besides being a very talented club, the depth is crazy. It's absolutely crazy, and they can withstand, you know, their top pitchers being out. They can withstand injuries. They can withstand, you know, their top players not playing at the level everybody's accustomed. It is kind of crazy just to watch this team.
As the sample size gets bigger, the difference between them and everybody else becomes a little bit more evident.
Yep.
Eric Karras with us here on the Spiegel and Holmes Show on 670 The Score. So what's something that Andrew Friedman and his staff have done that you think is smart or forward thinking that people might not realize? Because it's not just money and endless money. It's the fact that they went and got the best in the business from Tampa. So now he's doing it with all the money. What's something he's done that you've been impressed by?
So I would argue that this organization is as good as any, if not the best, at identifying players that have not maximized their potential or could be better. Bring them on over and boom, they're the guy. Whether it's Blake Treinen, whether it was Evan Phillips, who's now hurt, whether it's Anthony Bondo, whether it's you get guys that have struggled in other organizations, bring them over here, and then you make them into your closer, or you make them into your left-handed specialist, or you could. And that's the thing that really separates you. Because, look, it's obvious you can sit here and say, well, yes, the resources are great. Okay, fair enough. So that's not really a talent, right? That's just, okay, we've got the resources. Now, you have to spend accordingly. And look, you can talk about there have been some great moves. There have been some moves that haven't worked out. And that's, you know, that's a reality. But the ability to go out to bring in Max Muncy from the Oakland A's, turn him into a guy that, you know, could be holding the Dodger record for home runs. you know, like that's the sort of stuff that, and again, if you have the resources, you can do that more often, meaning you can sign more guys, you can bring them in, you can work with them. You know, so that I think has been Andrew's, I mean, one of the things that just sets him apart in the organization. And again, it's not just having the resources. You have to create the infrastructure and bring in the coaching staff, bring in the analytical group and all of that stuff, the scouting group to recognize these things. It's a total group effort. But if you look at this organization, and I'm biased, right? I'm around it, but I also see other organizations. There isn't really a place that you'd say, well, you know, the organization kind of skimps in this arena, or it kind of doesn't spend or doesn't try to be the best in this area. It tries to be the best in every single area.
So Roki Sasaki said that having the Japanese-style toilets would help sway his free agent decision, and they went out and got a lot of them. Are you allowed to use that bathroom?
That's in the players, so the players have their own. Hey, look, I will say this: if you saw the underneath of the stadium, it's unreal. You could, as a player, you could show up there at 8 in the morning and have no problem spending the whole day there doing a bunch of different things and then playing a game. I mean, it's the amenities, and that just furthers the, okay, you're bringing in a free agent, and, hey, this is why you should play in L.A., and you see all this sort of stuff, and you get the only thing you really have. No, I shouldn't say the only thing. If you come here as a player, the only thing you need to do is play well. Everything else is going to be supported.
They need to let you use the bathroom. Do they know that you have the most home runs of anybody in a Los Angeles uniform, Eric? For God's sakes.
Well, it's just, you know, there are only a few of them down there, and they're being used. And I, you know, as an announcer and everything, I have certain time windows that I can get down there.
Eric Carroll's joining us here on The Score. When's the point when, as a former Dodger, where people were probably telling you about Clayton Kershaw, when's the point where you were like, oh, this guy could be one of the greats?
So I still remember. So his first start was against the St. Louis Cardinals. And he threw well. I think he had seven strikeouts, I think. So Albert Pujols, right, who, you know, was still at his peak, made the comment that this kid had one of the best curveballs he's ever seen, and he's going to be around forever. And at the time, it's like, I don't think twice about Kershaw, but the best hitter, one of the best right-handed hitters in the game at that time, and, you know, we would later find out is, you know, one of the best to ever, you know, get in the right-handed batter's box, made that comment. And I think it wasn't so much what Kershaw, it was the fact that Pujols, unsolicited, made that comment. And I'll never forget it. It was talking about the curveball. And, you know, so then you're going to obviously place some stock in that if that was something that, you know, Albert recognized. And then he didn't waste any time. Within a year, he was, you know, dominating.
Eric Karros spent 1 year with the Cubs.
Pretty good year to spend with them.
Yeah, right?
Oh, man, right?
2003. And we were looking back before the show at some of your highlights, and in the 2003 NLDS, at Wrigley, game four, you'd already homered once, and then this one in the sixth inning with our guy Pat Hughes on the call was absolutely majestic.
Here's a drive in a deep left center. This ball's got a chance. Gone for Karros. His second of the day, and it's 6-3. Gee. Karros hit a 3-1 fastball way back into the seats in left center.
Yeah, that ball, those two home runs he hit were both rockets.
Yeah, the first one was a line drive, but that one, man, to the back of the bleachers. Did you feel like you guys were going to win the whole thing?
I thought we would. I really did, right? I mean, just the way things were going. Just a magical season. It was my 1 year I had an opportunity to spend in Chicago. You know, walked to and from work, you know, and this is after having been in L.A. for 12 seasons. And it was super enjoyable. And the only way it could have gone better is, you know, if we would have, you know, won. Right. And, you know, it's something that I made a comment afterwards that every player should have an opportunity to spend a summer playing in Chicago. And it was unreal. Now I don't know if I would have survived Chicago if I was 23, 24 years old, single. Coming up, I probably would have got eaten alive. And you know, God bless Mark Grace. But the it was an unbelievable experience.
So Eric, even though you're attached to the Dodgers, like you're a Dodger, like that's one.
Sure. I mean, I've called 40 games already this year for the team. So yeah.
So you're a Dodger, but I'm wondering, in 2016, did you feel something when the Cubs finally win?
It's rooting for the city, right, and rooting for the people, because I will say that my experience after we lost in 2003, I spent probably a week, you know, just wrapping things up and, you know, walking around the city. And I can't believe how many people I had come up to me and say, you know, things like, hey, you know, this summer, you know, you brought my relationship with my grandfather, you know, we got real close, or our family, it brought us together. And there was never any, oh, you guys sucked, you choked, and blah, blah, blah. Not one time. And, you know, you figure just, you know, averages, you're going to run into something like that. And literally for a week, I got nothing but just, hey, thank you very much, congratulations. So it's almost like you kind of felt like you pulled the rug out from, you know, all these people's feet, right? And so in 16, when the Cubs won, sure, great for the organization, but genuinely for the city of Chicago and for all the Cubs fans, super excited. And you know, look at that. I had 1 year of, you know, frustration, just, you know, I had been there, but I was very aware of the history and very aware of, you know, what it meant just even in 2003 for the Cubs to win and then to, you know, to finish it off in 2016. Great.
Where does the night of the Moises Alou interference with the fan, I'm not going to just call it by the kid's name.
No. I mean, the crazy thing is, at the time, so I'm playing first base on that play. And at the time, I didn't, you know, we're going to win, right? We're going to still win this game. We got Pryor on the hill. He's dealing. We're going to still win this. Even after game six, I felt like game seven, it was Redmond versus Wood.
Yep.
We're winning that. We're winning that 100 out of 100 times.
And Kerry homered. And I was in the bleachers that night. Kerry homered.
Right, yeah, Kerry did homer, but remember, before we even sat down in the dugout, Cabrera had homered, and we were down 3-0. Mm. And it was like, oh, okay, well, might not be as simple as I thought this was going to be here. But then, yeah, we went ahead. So this is a great. We went ahead 5-3, and in the bottom, I think it was the fifth inning. Kerry's pitching. I think it was a fifth, maybe fourth. Walks a leadoff guy named Brian Banks. In an auspicious walk, Brian Banks never plays after that season. Goes on to be a successful dentist. Walks Brian Banks on, like, that never happens. Anyhow, Marlins go on to score a bunch of runs at it. I want to say that was the fifth. But anyhow, so, like, look, you can tell that doesn't bother me.
No, it hasn't stuck with you at all.
I could give you so many things of, man, if it just breaks this way, we win. At least we go to the World Series that year.
Wow. I'm looking up Brian Banks' numbers. He had less than 500 at bats in the major leagues.
Man.
He never played after that year. He's a dentist. Who wins a World Series and then goes on to become a dentist? Like, what is that?
That's Cubs life right there.
Oh.
Eric, this was so fun, man. Thank you so much.
Stuff.
We appreciate
absolutely,
it.
Guys. And hey, look out for my boy Chase Meidroth. He's my guy. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, we will. We will look out. He's been playing great for the White Sox, so we will definitely look out for him.
Yes, sir. Okay, take care, guys. Appreciate it.